Richard Spall from Institute Theatre. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Lee.
It's an appropriate track because you're performing ghost stories this Saturday at the Leper Chapel.
Yes,
this is a good
right.
time of year for ghosty stories, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. There's a big tradition of ghost stories at Christmas. It's something to do with the time of year.
Yeah,
so it's... I used to watch that on telly when I was a teenager.
Yeah, you go back to the Christmas Carol and all of that.
Exactly, yeah.
Something, yeah, there's about spirits and I suppose looking back at the previous
exactly.
year.
Yeah, yep.
And the Leper Chapel. Very evocative and atmospheric too.
Oh yes, it's an amazing place. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that because you Institute have done other performances.
Yeah,
there.
We've worked there a lot over the last 10-15 years or so. Yeah,
it's the oldest building in Cambridge, is that right?
Yes, it's the oldest complete building in Cambridge. Yeah, I think bits of the Round Church are possibly older or the same period, but it's an entire building gone through an amazing history, including dereliction. It was a cow shed for a bit. It's the Leper Chapel because it was used to, of course, to be out of town, whereas it's, I mean, it isn't really now with suburban spread. but it was the only place where lepers could receive communion, and they obviously weren't allowed in, heaven forbid. But there was a slit in the wall, which is still there, actually, or remnants of it are still there, and the wafer and stuff would pass through there. They weren't actually allowed in, but they were there. Spiritual needs were, to some extent, catered for. I mean, it's
extraordinary,
awful,
isn't it?
Really. But it does give it a haunted intensity. A lot of suffering and a lot of history and stuff has happened there.
And it's very for people who don't know, it's this small whitewashed building on the edge of side of Newmarket Road as you're heading out of town,
yeah,
near the football.
Almost opposite Cambridge United. Yeah, yeah.
And it's very simple inside, yeah, which also, yeah, if you're telling stories, I guess is a good thing because it really focuses the
definitely.
Mind.
Definitely, and it's very small as well. So it's got a very intimate setting, and the stone is great for acoustic and atmosphere. Yeah, yeah, no, it's a great privilege being able to work there. So
and you're
much,
just telling stories by Elizabeth Bowen and Edith Wharton.
That's right, yes. They're two remarkable women writers, and they both... Edith Wharton has got a whole volume of ghost stories. She said that she didn't believe in them but was frightened of them anyway. And she has a very, very original take on the idea of the ghost story. And I actually spent a long time reading a lot of them and eventually chose one that I thought was the most suitable for me to do, not necessarily the best one in the abstract. And then Elizabeth Bowen, Anglo-Irish writer, a little bit later. And she has ghost stories that are set in the Second World War, which is very unusual. I think people that... The sort of Edwardian time is the classic ghost story up to the First World War with spiritualism and all the death and the loss of young people in the First World War, and it was unfashionable by the time it got to the Second World War, but Elizabeth Bowen reinvokes that in kind of bombed out London, and which is a haunted landscape, although of a rather different kind. They're really fabulous stories, and I enjoyed spent a long time choosing them, so that's nice work if you can get it, isn't it? Reading ghost stories.
As long as you didn't freak yourself out.
No, not at all. No, I've always loved them since I was a teenager. I think a lot of people do, I think.
I think they do. Yeah. I think they start reading them, don't they? Or watching sort of spooky films teenage years, and for some it never leaves. But these aren't the kind of classic, woo, ghosty, jumpy out stories, are they?
No, they're not. There aren't any sort of crude... No, it's not horror. They're very haunting. I suppose they are frightening in a way, but not in... open a cupboard door and a dead body falls out.
What we'd call today probably psychological thrillers,
yeah,
thrillers,
exactly,
aren't they?
Yeah.
What could have been, what might have been, what is almost there.
And very interesting, they're very, very interesting women's issues, actually. That's one of the things they're remarkable about them, is they approach the, be a long story, but the exclusion of women from, parts of society, and the restriction of their behaviour in all sorts of different ways. And that actually gets invoked in terms of haunting and, yeah, so it's some... It's very evocative and interesting stuff to work with, yeah.
So definitely. On Saturday night, if we were to come along to the Leper Chapel, would it be you sitting there? What would it look like? How would it feel?
It's just me sitting in a chair.
Candles?
No, dimly lit, but no candles. Just me in a chair. I think of it as being... do people know about those sort of Victorian mediums and stuff?
Yeah.
And they sit in a chair, and it's just them. Nothing appears to be happening until something actually starts happening to them, and different voices start speaking through them. It's very simple in terms of its... I mean, there isn't any elaboration of staging, but hopefully it gains an intensity for that.
There is something very intimate and intense about being told a story and being told
exactly.
A story with suspense.
Yeah.
For you as an actor, what skills do you have to bring to that?
I've got to have the skill to learn an extraordinarily large number of lines. It's one thing which is an unglamorous thing, but it's obviously that's the rock that it's built on, is just doing that. And I did that very slowly and enjoyably over quite a long period of time.
If you're reading from a book,
an hour and a half of talking.
An hour and a half, yes, an hour and a half worth of lines. Yeah. And if you're reading from a book, you break that spell somehow.
I think so. Oh yes, I think so. Yeah, I think so. It's punctuated by songs, so I sing as well. I guess in terms of performance, it's the voice really.
Pacing and volume.
Yeah, and how the characters inhabit the different voices, especially the more spectral ones. A lot of vocal work, which is a special interest of mine, and hopefully being able to... I think if you're on your own for an hour and a half... you haven't got any other actors getting in your way, I suppose. But, remaining sort of focused is, and somehow, hopefully, tripping a switch right at the beginning, and that you just stay in that zone until it's finished.
There's a stillness,
A
stillness. And of course, you say those lines, actually, you have to, if you miss a bit out or you get them in the wrong order, like sometimes you can in a play, for example,
then you can
work your way back to where you were, but in a story... It's more important that it has that right sequence.
It's essential, yes. Yeah, there are some places where I hope I don't end up going. Yes. But on the other hand, I mean, anyone that's done any acting will know about this. The last thing you do is think about that when you're doing it.
Go in the zone.
Prepare as thoroughly as you can and get in a good frame of mind, have a good night's sleep the night before, make sure you're hydrated, do all those basic things that anybody would do for any sort of work. And then hopefully, a switch is thrown and all the preparation you've done hopefully just gets activated. And there's nothing much you can do about it if it doesn't happen. But basically it does happen. That does
well. You're
that
a very experienced actor and performer. You've done this kind of thing before, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes. Well, I've been running this. This actually started 2 years ago. I did Ghost Stories for the first time. I performed it a few times since then, and I've got another one as well in the same format. So yeah, in the last couple of years, I've been very interested in solo performing.
And what kind of age would you say this was appropriate for?
I think teenager above. I mean, obviously adults. It depends on the young person, but I think younger children. It's there are a lot of words, and there aren't and quite strong demands on the audience's stamina.
Concentration,
we've got to listen and concentrate for an hour and a half. There's not really anything else to do. So I would have thought it's ideal for sort of older, younger people. No upper age range, I don't think.
Oh, it sounds great. So that's 8 o'clock this Saturday.
That's right.
At the Leper Chapel.
Yep.
Now, In Situ Theatre, what else is happening with In Situ? You always have loads going on.
Yes, yeah, we've got a lot going on. I'm halfway through a project on Anton Chekhov's Three Sisters, very great play from the early 1900s. And, we take a long time to devise our ensemble work, so that is happening in mid-June, so a little way off, but still working very hard on it.
I look forward to that. Was my favourite play ever.
Right.
Three Sisters, so I very much look forward to it.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, so enjoying exploring that at the moment. And I've got in July, I mean, a lot of our work is actually in summer because of the venues we work in, so this is exceptional, the winter one. Measure for Measure we're doing as well, and that's in July.
And where is that? Because you do lots of outside, is that...
These are both in the Leopard Chapel as well.
Oh,
yeah, we're
in
using the Leopard Chapel a lot.
You use
this
the inside
summer.
And outside.
Yeah,
there,
that's
you?
Right. Yeah.
Promenade performance.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, you can get tickets and find out more information about the performance at insitutheatre.co.uk.
Yes. And just one word warning, it's a bit chilly in there, so wrap up warm and dress for outside is the safest thing. We'll be dishing out mulled wine, hot fruit and stuff like that. So people should, you know, no, not too many instances of hypothermia, but do dress for outside. You can book online. It's quite a small... We can't get that many people in, so probably best to book online. But obviously, if you come on the door, we will do our utmost to squeeze you in if we can.
And I have to ask you, Richard, are you a believer? Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know. But I... I think as a sort of phenomenon in the real world, I don't know if one can, really. But as a thing that is of the utmost sort of psychological importance to people, I believe in them, definitely.
What a diplomatic answer. Well, good luck for Saturday. Sounds a great night. Yeah, that starts at 8.
8 o'clock on this coming Saturday. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Lee.